Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, Mike, you know, but before we get into this, the Tom Brady story, another big clue that he's going to be retiring. You know, I told you minutes ago I dethroned Amy Schneider on Jeopardy after, you know, 40 runs. It was tough. She was a tough opponent, but, you know, I was able to win at the end.
Well, sure.
I'm also going to replace Stephen Breyer on the Supreme Court. I don't know if you know that. That's going to get out as well. I was on the short list. They like the fact that I can make arguments when I really don't have to worry about a law degree or anything with that. And they've listened to the show. And so I think
failures are okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Listen, and they
well, actually, everybody's making their own Supreme Court jokes right then after what I said there.
Yeah, no, so. but I'm on, they told me I'm on the short list, and I'm going to get the gig. I mean,
best I could tell, you would be the only one who isn't an African American woman.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
from the infographics that I was seeing.
Yeah. Well, what they liked about me is that when they said, "Well, what's going to happen when they ask you questions about the law? You have no experience." And I said, "I'm just going to cite precedent because that right because all the law has already been written. Right? I'm going to say, hey, listen, I'm going to cite precedent, and we go to lunch.
Well, or you call me because I've seen every iteration of every Law and Order show.
Oh, good. Okay, good. I will need
ever
that.
Made.
I will need that.
Although the one with Vincent D'Onofrio at time was a bit too intense. The problem.
The more he cocked his head to the side, the more crazy the episode got. Like he would tilt his head like all the way, almost like he was in what was the movie where his head turns all the way around and he keeps talking? Like he would cock his head to the
side. Wasn't he in Men in Black doing that?
Yeah, that's right. He was in Men in Black. Someone brought in a pet cat. Very dear to me. So when a big court case comes up, I will say, listen, what happened? You know, tell me a big argument Sam Waterston made at the end, and I'll be able to say, and I will cite precedent, and then I'll say, listen, don't we all just want to go to lunch? And look, they're all going to say, yeah. And then they'll may say, Jason, it's 10:30 in the morning. Yeah, but the line at Jersey Mike's gets really long fast. We get there, have a sandwich now. We can have another lunch at like 1:30. I'm just going to keep citing precedent.
Well, the timing couldn't be better for you because they're getting ready to put Law and Order back into production, and Waterston's coming back. So
yeah.
They have new, fresh from that, ripped from the headline cases for you to really bone up on the law.
I'll be able to solve all issues. I'll solve them all. And I'll dig deep. Like, I'll go back to some L.A. Law episodes saw in the late 80s, early 90s.
Why are you wearing that wig? Well, Harry Hamlin had this on, and it seemed to help him make excellent points.
I'm going to cite former District Attorney Grace Van Owen when she decided to prosecute the Ricky Davis case, which is actually a real plot line on L.A. Law.
Ricky Davis? You mean the former Iowa standout?
Yeah, no. That
either,
was
either that or are you going to start going night court and start citing Dan Fielding over at it?
You remember Dan Fielding? Boy, I'll tell you. No. That was actually the case when Harry Hamlin left. When he left L.A., he was like, I'm going to be famous now and be in movies and everything.
Yeah.
The Ricky Davis case he won, it was a big high-profile case, is I'm striking out on my own, which means I'm leaving the show. So
well, he was great in Clash of the Titans. Anybody that hasn't seen that one, the 1981 classic with Calibus, a long personal history to that is at one point I had to have a surgery, which had me walking around like Calibus going. Pull up the video clip. So that was a nickname around my house for a while. Hey, Calibus, how you doing over there? It's like, it hurts to walk, you jerks.
She called you Calibus.
Yeah, that was my dad who led the charge on that.
Now, listen, all right, now this is pretty fun, though, but I actually have a Harry Hamlin story.
You do.
You want a good Harry Hamlin story?
You if
want a
you
good
have,
one?
I oh, would, this is great. There, is there a bad
story.
One?
No, this is a great story. This I'm going back now about.
Was Lisa Rinna hanging out with him?
No, Lisa Rinna's not in this. Lisa's not in this. It's like the late 90s, or maybe it's like 2000, something like that. And my mom comes out to visit. And my mom was always, when she would come out to visit, she would always say there's one or two things she absolutely had to do because she read about something in a magazine or she heard this is a place to go. It was always like, this is a place to go for lunch, or she wanted to go to the store. And she found this jewelry store that she said, oh, I want to go here. I want to get a couple of things. It seems really nice. It's kind of my style. Like, great, we'll go there. So we go to the jewelry store. And we go upstairs, and it's one of those places it's on like Melrose, you know, in here in L.A., and it's kind of she-she.
A little bougie, absolutely.
Yeah, a little bougie, exactly. That's what it is, right. So we go up there, and we get a couple of things, and we were leaving, and my mom was paying, and I said, well, I'll go down and get the car and come around to pick you up. So I come down to get the car, and I come out of the front door, and I'm standing there outside, and like Pam calls out. She goes, Jay, and I was like, what? She goes, oh, wait, your mom's going to be another couple minutes. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get the car, and I'm going to bring it around here. She goes, all right. I go, is it going to be another couple minutes? She goes, I don't know. And she's trying to talk to my mom and everything. And then I'm like, all right. And I'm looking. And then I turn around and I see all of it at once. And I see two people looking at me, one guy with a camera and with a big video camera. And the other guy is Harry Hamlin with a cup of coffee in his hand. And he looks at me and he goes, can you excuse us? And I'm like, oh, they were shooting him entering this. They're trying to shoot him entering this for whatever TV movie he was making. And I was just standing in the way. They needed to get a shot of him walking in for whatever it was, just some pickup shot of whatever. And I'm just standing there and I turn around and Harry Hamlin looks at me like, can you move out of the way so we can go in and shoot? Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. All right. Hey, no problem.
There you go.
And by the time I come back around and I tell my mom and family, oh my God, did you guys see Harry Hamlin? And they go, what do you mean, Harry Hamlin? I go, he was right there. He walked in. And they go, no, what are you talking about? They thought I was lying. My mom was like, you're just making that up. I'm like, no, he was right there. They were shooting. And we found out he was just taking a pickup shot, shooting something for whatever movie he was making. And they all thought I was lying that I saw Harry. Why would I make up that I saw Harry Hamlin? If I saw somebody that I'd make up that, hey, did you see George Clooney walk in? Did you see Sharon Stone walk in? Did you see Prince walk in? But I would say, oh, Harry Hamlin, because I'm going to make it up. And that's like, I mean, I wasn't going to make that up.
That's the guy that you would pick to make something up about?
Yeah, Harry Hamlin. Hey, I'm going to fool my mom that I saw Harry Hamlin. Then I'm going to go, ha, busted, snag. I got you. Ha, ha, ha. I didn't see Harry Hamlin. No, but I saw Harry Hamlin. I was in his way when he had to walk in.
Well, that's a pretty good story.
That's better than a lot of other Harry Hamlin stories. In the pantheon of Harry Hamlin stories, that's got to be at the top.
Well, I mean, it's really the only one I've heard. So right now it's atop the medal list.
Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. I'm glad I am at the top of the Harry Hamlin story list. Last night, we told you Tom Brady is giving us the clues that he's retiring from the NFL. Right, just to give you a quick summary, because it was a big deal for us last night. Just like we had to follow the clues that he was leaving New England. He's selling his house. His personal trainer is selling his house. He's voiding his contract so he can be a free agent. All these things. Not committing to coming back to the team. Not saying that he will return. None of this. And we had to follow the clues. We told you he was leaving, but people wanted to just ignore that and go, no, he's never going to leave. Tommy's not going to leave. And guess what? Tom Brady left. And the whole time, he gave us the clues. And he's giving us the clues now that he's going to retire from the NFL. All right, the fact that we've gone through that none of the Bucks were surprised when the story gets out on Sunday morning that he was going to retire, that he's going to talk with his family, that he's going to have a decision in about a month, and if he was really going to play, would he still be going to these lengths? He's not said one thing about playing next season at all. Everything has been looking back at this season, nothing going forward, nothing I can still play, but none of that. It's always been about what a great ride this has been, and I will have a decision in about a month or so. So, yeah, Brady's telling us he's retiring. And we got another big clue today thanks to Rob Gronkowski and, well, TMZ's cameras who caught up with Gronk and said, Gronk, you know, all the Tom stuff. What about you, man? Are you going to play next year?
Like, if they're like, you know, you got to decide right now, this second, if you're playing next year, I would say no right now. It's 2 days after the season. I'd be like, no, I'm not playing. Like, way too soon. But, like, you got to give it some time. You got to rest. I would say to see how everything goes, you know, how everything plays out.
First of all, let me just say, first of all, he's the most happiest that you've ever heard somebody on TMZ. Usually TMZ's cameras catch somebody and it's, yeah. Hey, if they told me, ask me right now, I would say no. Do you really think Rob Gronkowski doesn't know what Tom Brady's going to do? Of course he does.
I don't think he'd hold up under questioning, going back to our Law and Order and whatever else. insert your Joe Pesci lines here.
But right here, you know, he talks to Brady. Look, they're incredibly tight. Brady got him an extra $500,000, you know, by getting back on the field and throwing him a pass. Gronk knows what Brady's going to do, but he's not going to ruin Brady's however he wants to announce his retirement. So when he's asked, this is the clue. What would you do? Well, if you ask me right now, I'm retiring. Because he knows Tom Brady is retiring. Not I'm going to wait and see. Not I don't know. Not any of this. Not I'll wait. Maybe I'll come back. No, he's not saying anything yet. He's leaving the door open in case things change, because that's Gronk's answer. Well, if you ask me right now, no. But in a month, I don't know. Just in case something happens and Brady goes against everything we've seen and changes mind at the last minute, you know, the Bucks trade for Michael Thomas or, you know, something crazy like that. Hey, my arm's feeling good. I got one
more
year.
Dude, there's $71 million over the cap. Something's happening there. That's why we said it last night. Sean Payton left while the getting was good.
Look, Gronk is healthy and he's playing well. He would find a new team and he would continue playing, but he's not going to say it now. Right, he's not going to take away from anything, and however Brady wants to handle his retiring, so he's going to wait until after. But just the fact that you asked Gronk, what are you going to do? And he said, if you ask me right now, I'm retiring. And Gronkowski and Brady have been joined at the hip since they were at New England. They both skipped OTAs together. They both wanted to leave at the same time. Gronkowski retired so he could get out of New England and then join Tom in Tampa Bay, and he stayed for the second year after they won the Super Bowl. You really think Gronk isn't in lockstep with Brady and he's not saying I'm retired? Of course Brady's retiring. Gronk wouldn't be saying this if you asked me right now, I'm retiring, but I'm going to kind of wait and see. That's exactly what Brady is doing. Yeah, I'm going to wait and see. I'll have my announcement in a month. Brady's decided to retire. He's just waiting a month to see if his mind changes for any reason, but this is where it's going. This is what his family expects. This is what the Bucks expect. This is what Gronkowski expects. And the fact that you asked him about his situation right now, it's like him giving you the Brady answer. It's another big clue that we've seen Brady throw in his last pass in the NFL.
Well, right now, if I'm Brady, I'm pissed at him. Hey, Gronk, how hard was it to say, dude, I just finished a long season. I'm beat up. It's not a decision you make in a day. Now, you know, I'll see you on the yacht or I'll see you at Super Bowl week to come hang out and party with my man Shaq and whatever. And then do a promo, right? Turn it into a business opportunity. Instead, he starts talking a little bit longer and maybe revealing some of the master plan. Now, back to the Brady thing. And we talked about this last night, but just to punctuate it for those who haven't listened to the podcast, available wherever you grab your audio, download it, give it 5 stars. We'll love you forever. Walk coast to coast, give you hugs as we're able to and capable in this world, and as long as my legs hold up. But with Tom Brady, like, there was no reason for him to go deep into I can still play whatever. The numbers said it, right? The fact that he was still hitting Mike Evans with deep balls late in that game. Yeah, everybody knows physically he can still do this. So there was no point in belaboring that. Now it just becomes the existential, philosophical, and family matters. There you go. Think of Carl Winslow. And him ruling at at the Plaza. I didn't want to mispronounce it because I
saw. No, it's okay. Nakatomi Plaza. Yes.
Yeah, Nakatomi. Okay. Well, I wanted to add an extra syllable. But the point being that, you know, for Gronk, yeah, he kind of opened the door of, all right, we're going to have discussions over the next few weeks. And it plays out. It again, just should have said, you know, I've been in the league a long time. My body's beat up. I need some time. Not yet, guys. And then, you know, say something about, you know, trying to get insurance and when his next commercial is going to drop with that or whatever, and then move on.
It comes back to, why would he say he's retiring when he doesn't have to? Why would he say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'll figure it out. Why would he say he's retiring? He's given us the clue. He's given us the Brady. Whether Brady has said, hey, if they ask you, you can say you're retiring so people will put the dots together. Hey, those really smart guys on Fox Sports Radio at night have been doing it. They're going to keep putting it together. Give them the clues. Like suddenly it's a movie where the bad guys are giving the clues and the police are trying to figure out. Why would he say that? He didn't have to. He could have just said, I don't know. We'll see. This is... Why would he say that if he thought Brady would be coming back? If he thought Brady would be coming back, he would say, I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see. Because you're not going to say you're retiring and then the Bucks go on and make different plans and they don't want to bring you back. You say you're retiring when you're pretty sure you know you're not going to go back and play for that team again. And that's what Gronk did today. Because there's no other reason to say that if he hasn't talked to Brady and knows what Brady's plans are.
He's supposed to have his story straight. He screwed up.
Follow the clues, man. Well, follow the clues. Why would he say he's retiring if there was any possibility Brady would be coming back? That's another big clue right there. That's the Benoit Blanc of clues. I suspect foul play and Brady's retirement. I suspect it. That's Knives Out 2. That's going to be the new plot.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ba-da-da-dum. Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show, with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And according to reports, James Harden is either going to be traded by the Nets because he can't stand being in Brooklyn, or the Nets are not going to trade him at all, and they're going to hold on to him through the deadline. Well, there's only one person to talk to get all the insight on that and have the Lakers actually hit rock bottom and begin to come back up, crawling out of the hole like Bane did. He is on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1 analyst insider, on the ball with Rick Bucher podcast. Rick, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
Gentlemen, I am doing well. I'm doing well. Not as well as Matt Bucher, as we all know, but otherwise I am doing pretty damn well.
What's the latest exploits from Matt Bucher these days?
Let's recap. Matt Bucher, we found out. I can remember, Matt Bucher won the state championship, has a girlfriend, and has a new truck.
So actually, now that I mention it, so he was named All State. The accolades still come pouring in when it comes to football. He's doing well in basketball, not to the same level, but he's on a pretty good team. But he crashed the truck.
Whoa!
No.
Yeah. Now it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault.
And he's okay.
He's okay. Truck is going to probably be totaled. A guy turned into him. He couldn't do anything about it.
Wow.
But as a result, see, the thing is he inherited this truck from me. And he had always had his eye on another kind of truck. And as a result, he may wind up with the truck that he wanted. So even when it goes bad for Matt Bucher, it ends up going well. I don't know. The kid's got a horseshoe up his ass. That's the only explanation I can have for life for Matt Bucher. Somehow, even when it turns bad, it turns good.
And meanwhile, Rick Bucher is now sleeping in the second bedroom with a space heater and is only allowed out of his room on alternate weekends.
Now I'm going to be paying for like four different cars as a result. Okay. That's what I'm going to be doing.
All right. So while it's Matt Bucher's world and we're all living in it now, the last couple of days, it's kind of in James Harden's world and the rumors around swirling that he's not happy, but the Nets are going to hold on to him. What's the deal here, Rick?
Well, I'm finding it comical, the idea that the Nets are going to trade James Harden. So what? You're left with KD, who's coming off of a sprained MCL, and Kyrie Irving, who can only be there half of the time. Please make it make sense. There's no reason for the Nets to make that move. And ultimately, if they can, they'd love to have James Harden back. I think there is some legitimacy to his frustrations when it comes to the situation. This is not what he expected it to be. And quite honestly, I think he's coming to the reality that It's a little bit like when KD went to the Warriors. Like, no matter what I do, no matter how I play, in the case of KD, this is Steph's world. And it's always going to everything's going to gravitate toward him. I think he understands that that's going to be the case in Brooklyn. And he now looks at the possibility, and I know his relationship with Daryl Morey is good, and I know that Daryl Morey is tremendous in we won't call it tampering, luring players that he's interested in to come play for him. And so I think there's something very real about the possibility that Harden is going to take a long, hard look at Philadelphia once he gets to free agency this summer. But the idea that the Nets would do anything, make any kind of a move now, I don't know where those – I've talked to some Nets people in the last few weeks. I don't know where those ideas are coming from. I would say that they're about as solid as the rumors that the Cleveland Cavaliers, once they lost Ricky Rubio, were going to try to make a deal for Russ Westbrook to fill that gap, not ignoring the fact that what that would do to Darius Garland, their young up-and-coming all-star point guard, who seems to be doing just fine, stepping in and taking extra responsibility with Rubio out. I put neither one of those possibilities in the realm of possibility.
All right, well, I'll ask the question for Smith. They made their move, the wonder of the Knicks, Tom Thibodeau and company. Did we hit the April wall early, even though they went and got Cam Reddish and haven't figured out how to get him in or what?
Well, so, you know, everybody got all excited about them making the move to get Cam Reddish and the trade and that the Hawks got fleeced. The problem is that it doesn't resolve, you know, the first – red flag that went up for all the people that I talked to was that Cam Reddish said, you know, I'm a star. And I'm sorry, but dude, you're going to have to wait in line if you want to be a star with the New York Knicks. Julius Randle's already there. RJ Barrett is already there. That's not what they needed, a guy to come in and do. And so it only complicates the picture for the Knicks. I also, and I think I told you guys, like last year, that was a wave of Tibbs comes in, he does what Tibbs does. You have Julius Randle playing for a new contract. You have Derrick Rose, and you manage to keep him healthy all year. Like they surprised people, and they were all committed to the idea of, hey, we're going to get the Knicks back to being relevant. And they succeeded. But it was a bit paper thin, and it was exposed in the postseason. And they've only gone the opposite direction. You have no Derrick Rose now. Kemba Walker was not built to be your closer, and he wasn't built to be your full-time point guard. It was supposed to be we're going to mix and match between him and Derrick. Julius has his money. He's not playing at the same level. And so you just look across the board, and I think it's where the expectations were. And I think we talked about this at the beginning of the year, too. I like some of their young talent. But we know how Tibbs operates. Like, Obi Toppin, I think, should be playing way more than, 16 minutes a game? But he's not going to come off playing Julius 35, 36 minutes, no matter how Randle is playing. It's just Tibbs is going to ride his veterans. He's going to ride the play. He's not a developmental coach. And I think for where the Knicks are, ideally – they took the success that they had last year. It bought them a little bit of time. And then they said, you know what, for us to really get our feet under us, we need to develop some of the young talent that we have. Last year was nice, but we got exposed in the playoffs that our veterans are not good enough to carry us where we want to go. So we need to take a step back, and we need to utilize our young players. I don't know that Tibbs has ever done that. They're certainly not doing it this year. It's not the approach that they had. And it's why they are where they are. I expected them to take a step back. Maybe not one as big as this, but then you lose Derrick Rose, who I think was their MVP last year. And this is where you find yourself.
Rick Bucher with us, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live on Fox Sports Radio. All right, so from the Knicks, where, you know, it's just you're stabbing my heart with every word you say.
You know what? You know what? Me? Just stop that. Stop that. You know. Well, I didn't tell
doesn't
you
mean he wanted to hear it,
know.
Rick.
Dude, all you had to say, Rick, was what I said at the beginning of the show. The Knicks are banking on and treating Julius Randle like he's their Giannis, he's their Embiid, and he's not that good. And that's
I told
the deal.
You that last year.
And that's the deal.
You should already be conditioned for that. Like, that shouldn't even. That's right. That you. Like, we should be past this. You know what? This is like when you're trying to show somebody how to do something, and you think they got it, and then, you know, a year later you say, oh, hey, how you doing with that? And they go, oh yeah, I don't know how to do that anymore. You're like, what are you talking about? It's a year later. It should be a foregone conclusion that you can do that. Like, we should be moving on to step two.
Oh, yeah. Hope's a dangerous thing, Rick.
I don't know how to do that anymore. All right, now. Normally, and here's a flip side conversation, because I know the Knicks
this
conversation
is the most painful
one
segment I've ever had. The disappointment is ripped
hey,
so
listen,
large.
You were already burned up coming in here knowing you're paying for five trucks over the course of the next year, okay?
You're damn right. I came in salty, and yeah. You just brined me over twice. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes. Look, your wife is coming home with a new truck. Your neighbor's coming home with a new truck.
Yeah.
Trucks.
Yeah.
Rick Bucher's getting trucks for everybody. All right.
Oprah's standing out on the front lawn.
Go see Rick Bucher, man.
Seriously.
He's handing out trucks like candy.
As I've been on the show just now, Matt just texted me, can you Venmo me $600? I'm like Mr. Moneybags now. He doesn't even have to say what he needs the $600 for. Dad, you're just going to give me $600, right?
Wow.
That's nuts.
When I was little, I felt bad asking my mom for $20. Hey, can you give me $600?
So,
what are you going to Vegas?
No, actually, I owe it to him. So there's that. But he also, if he makes All-State, I guess they give you like a patch or something. And he goes, you got to give me an extra $36 for the patch.
You have to pay for the patch?
Yeah, I got to pay. I gotta pay
and then
for
you got to pay for
state
someone
state
to put the patch on?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And I need the $600 for the seamstress who's going to custom make the jacket for the patch.
It's Moneybags Rick Bucher with us here on Fox Sports.
Man.
All right, so from people who are not going to get into your pocket for anything, although they probably would to pay off Russell Westbrook's salary. The conversations about the Lakers have been very difficult, but I do want to throw this out there. Has the worst passed for them? Anthony Davis is back. LeBron James is dominant at center. And maybe they're not going to turn into a great team, but maybe the backsliding is stopped and things can get better from here on out?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think as much as people have painted it doom and gloom, the reality is that nothing has been irretrievably lost in this season for the Lakers. If you look where they are, and I haven't looked where they are in the standings of late. Last time I looked, they were seventh seed. They were like... They're right in the mix. So there's nothing that prevents them in looking at the West from moving up to sixth or being in the seventh and needing to win a play-in game to get into the playoffs. Like, they're still capable of all that. And depending on who they get matched up with in the first round, they're capable of winning a playoff series. And who knows? Like, I mean, you get injuries, you get all kinds of things that can happen. So, The potential of this season has not been completely lost. And certainly with Anthony Davis coming back, they should be a better team. Now, are they going to be the world beaters that everybody was suggesting that they were going to be when they put AD and Russ and LeBron and Rajon? Remember when he was supposed to be part of this deal coming back? And no, they're not going to be that. And so, you know, but where they are and what they're still capable of, like, to your point, like, they're still capable of being in the playoffs and putting a scare into somebody, and who knows? So that's where, as bad as things have gone and everybody's drubbing them, I look at it and say, hey, I didn't expect what everybody else expected. So maybe, you know, my bar is in a different place, but I look at where they are and I'm actually thinking, okay, you know what? Malik Monk has shown that he can make a shot. Austin Reeves has shown that he can give you something. There are pieces there that will work. I mean, I think the biggest issue is, like, how much you have to rely on LeBron James and the minutes that he's playing, and can you get to the finish line where he's going to be good to go? The whole idea in getting a Westbrook and having AD was that LeBron wasn't going to have to carry as much weight, and I still look at them and they're, you know, without LeBron remains, for all the scoring that he's doing, he remains their best playmaker. And even with AD back, I think there's some defensive issues. But I agree with you in that I look at the Lakers and I think they're still in the mix. And as long as they're in the mix, I don't think it matters where they're seated. They can still be part of the playoff picture. Do I think that they're going to be in the conference finals? No. But do I expect them to be in the playoffs? Yes, absolutely I do. And I would not be surprised if they win a round before they exit.
All right, Rick, the last thing for you. You got Grayson Allen with the latest activity, your latest on FoxSports.com. If you could, you know, give us a quick analysis to tease folks over to your column.
Yeah, well, everybody basically wanted him drawn and quartered as a result of the foul on Alex Caruso, and it made it sound as if, you know, this is something that Grayson does every week. And without question, he has a reputation. But I wanted to talk to NBA people about, have them watch the foul, you know, watch the clip, and then give me their take both on the foul and on Grayson Allen's reputation. And, you know, I got far more of a balanced, imagine this, far more balanced approach from real people than I did from people on Twitter.
How dare
and,
you?
And, yeah. And I'm actually going to do my next podcast is going to be on this subject as well, because I look at Grayson, first of all, it kind of surprised me, you know, for his reputation and for the way people reacted to the Caruso foul. That's the first flagrant two foul of his 4-year career. I don't think you would have ever imagined that. And he's only had three flagrants in his entire 4-year career. What he is, and again, I'm going to lean on Matt. I asked Matt Buecher this question. I said, what do you think of Grayson Allen? He goes, I said, do you think he's dirty? He said, no, he's an irritant. He's like Pat Beverly. And I think Matt Buecher is right on. So good for him. He's going to get a new truck.
He's on Twitter at Rick Buecher. That is at Rick Buecher. And don't forget, podcast up there. Check out the link on Grayson Allen. The verdict in on him being a dirty player or not. Rick, as always, appreciate your time, my friend. Enjoy. We'll talk to you next week when maybe you're another couple of trucks down.
All-wheel drive, yo.
All right.
Thanks, Rick.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think if we do one thing tonight here, and this is we educate Alex Teichert about Michael McDonald and the Doobie Brothers, I think we've done a great service here tonight. I mean, it's great that we're talking about the story a bit, Michigan defensive coordinator likely going to the NFL, but, you know, just getting Michael McDonald in the show and having Teichert go, I've never heard these songs before. Whoa, China Grove, okay. I think that's a good thing for him. He's expanding his horizons.
Well, we also help to educate America. I mean, because now there's an untapped resource of the greatness of Michael McDonald solo and Michael McDonald with the Doobie Brothers. And if nothing else, at some point, I would have to reference their appearance on what's happening that really gets everybody excited when Rerun starts to dance and then there's all sorts of problems. Scalping tickets and all that stuff comes in.
All we got was an hour of a guy eating popcorn.
You mean I'm going to jail from the kid eating popcorn? Ah, classic.
Oh, I remember that was like, oh, my God, bootleg concerts like the most evil thing in the world, and I would never want to do something like that. It was so, oh, my God, I'm going to go to prison for the rest of my life if I record a concert. I'm never going to do that. Oh, it was so scary.
And then you did anyway.
No, I never went to jail. Never
and now you
jail.
Have to bet. Well, you never went. Still on the lam over that whole mailbox thing.
No, but that's not bootlegging concerts and
anything. No. You did that when you went to Foghat.
I did not. I've never been to see Foghat. And TJ, like Foghat, it's been a slow ride to the top for the San Francisco 49ers this season, TJ. No, I've never been to see Foghat. Never seen Foghat.
I think you're lying.
Foghat. I've never seen Foghat. Why would I lie about a contact? I've never seen Foghat, but I did see Harry Hamlin. I told you those stories earlier today. I saw Harry
Hamlin. You got to listen to the whole show. If you missed a scintillating Harry Hamlin story. So, how was his hair? It was perfect.
I mean, that's a story, yes, I told, because I did see Harry Hamlin, but I never went to see Foghat. I've never been to see Foghat. I'm trying to think the oldest band I've gone to see, and they don't even seem that old. Like when I say I've gone to see Poison, I feel like I went to see them when I was young, and they were young, and now they're like, Poison, that band's been around for 40 years. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I saw the Rolling Stones back in, like, in 89, you know, when Mick was, like, 50. That's probably the oldest band I've ever seen in concert.
Well, I went and saw them in October twice. I actually wrote about it on my Find Your Wins space there and the catharsis that went into that. And I tell you, I'd go see them every day of the week if they lined up, man. That's how cool an experience it was.
I'll tell you.
Yeah. And I mean, I went and saw Ian Anderson do Jethro Tull at 50.
Mm. If you think Mr. Mick Jagger is going to be busy being a rock star when he is 40 years old, you are sadly, sadly mistaken.
Man, now he's doubled.
Yeah, now he's 80, right? How great was that Jimmy Fallon line? It's one of the best lines of Almost Famous. And he's actually doing the moves. You are sadly, sadly mistaken. If you think James Harden's going to get traded by the Nets, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. The big NBA story tonight, amid reports that James Harden was unhappy in Brooklyn, and I'm like, how could you be unhappy in Brooklyn? Everybody I know loves Brooklyn. They love living in Brooklyn. All they can do is tell me how great Brooklyn is, right?
Yeah, you're in Brooklyn.
It's like people that tell me, what's Chicago like? Oh, Chicago's the greatest city in the world. Chicago's got this and this and this and this. Why do you live in Los Angeles? Well, I moved out here for work, but Chicago is the great. If Chicago's that great, why did you leave? Like, everybody that's ever been to Chicago, Chicago's the greatest city. Brooklyn's everybody. Oh, Brooklyn. I live here. Brooklyn's the best. James Harden apparently wasn't happy in Brooklyn. But was he going to get traded? Now the Nets say not happening, where his name could have been out there at the deadline. The Nets say they will not listen to trade deadline overtures for Harden. Agent Wojnarowski having this story earlier tonight. And let's face it, whenever you get to use the word overtures, except the trade deadline, right? That's the only time you get to use. There's no like, oh, the 18-12 overture, I guess. But when you say listen to overtures, it's always, oh, someone's going to wow me for a trade at the deadline, right? That's when you hear the word overtures. So the Nets say they won't listen because they are committed to getting the big three on the court, he, KD, Kyrie Irving, and that Harden wants to stay and win a championship with the franchise. All right, now all of this is kind of moot, whether Harden really wants to stay, really hates Brooklyn. Many times I've told you how Brooklyn puts this thing together with the big three and it's not well thought out, and Kyrie and KD and Harden are basically doing whatever they want to do, right? You know, KD is, you know, playing when he feels like he needs to prove something to all of us. He steps up and has a great couple of weeks. Now he's injured. He's having trouble staying on the floor. He's 33 years old now. He's had big injuries and he's having trouble staying healthy. James Harden is still who James Harden is. He'll give you a lot of stats and he'll get tired at the end of games, especially in the playoffs when you need him the most. He he's exhausted. Kyrie Irving shows up when he feels like it, and his presence on the court is at his whim, right? So the Nets have put this together really crappily. But I will say this. I agree 100%. Do not trade James Harden. You went all in to try to put these three guys on the floor. And when they are on the floor together, they blow teams out by 40 points. Right? I mean, they've only been on the floor together twice so far this year because lots of things are happening. And it's only been 15 times so far because I told you it was going to be less than 50 before it all blew up. And how right am I? But when they're on the floor together, great things happen because you can't stop them. But they haven't seen it yet. Before you blow it up, you got to give it the rest of this year to see if it could actually happen, right? You moved heaven and earth to get KD and Kyrie to come to Brooklyn, and then you went all out to get James Harden to bring him here. You need a third superstar. You're trying to push Brooklyn as a new center of basketball. It's not really happening because still the Knicks get the headlines, and the Nets are a bigger story nationally. That's kind of what it is. But I agree with the Nets. You did this to get these three guys, and it's been very frustrating, and I get it. And the temptation to make a trade to say, let's get out of what's not working and get to something else, I see that. But you're near the top of the Eastern Conference. Just see it the rest of this season through. See if KD can get healthy. Something happens vaccination-wise. Maybe his Omicron starts to ebb, and it looks like it's starting to ebb a little bit now, which is nice. Maybe things get relaxed in New York. By the time we get closer to the playoffs, Kyrie Irving can play in New York, and he can play all the time. And everybody's healthy, and the Nets can put things together for one big run in the playoff. You kind of owe it to ride it out for that rather than just making a big trade. I get that it seems pretty easy to do. It's just not working. Let's figure something else out. But you wanted to put these guys together because you thought they could win a championship. You got to give them the rest of this season to see if that can work. And if you get to the end of the year and it still doesn't work, well, then I get it. Then, okay, we tried for 2 years. Guys couldn't stay on the floor. We don't know what's going on with Kyrie. Harden's getting older. KD is injured all the time. Then I get, okay, we tried for 2 years, but you got to give it this year. So I am 100%. Don't trade Harden. See it through the rest and see how the rest of this year goes.
Well, I just don't know what you trade at this point that's going to help you when you've got so much uncertainty with your other two stars, right? Durant's not walking back in the door next week, right? That's still a couple of weeks out before he's going to be able to go, and who knows what the minutes restrictions are and what load he can take on that early. With Kyrie, right now it's day-to-day, both in health and just availability as they go through the schedule. So what are you getting on the open market that's going to be better? Yeah, you'd love him to shoot better than 42% when you're talking about Harden and what he's brought to the table. He's had some injuries of his own, right? Hamstring injury that's lingering, which is probably going to affect what you're going to get in return for him as well, right? So I think when you look at this entire experiment, I mean, this isn't, hey, we're just blowing it all up and, you know, take anything we have of value and we'll just scuttle for stuff that'll clear a bunch of cap space after next year or at the end of this year and we have a bunch of draft picks. No, you bought all in to this experiment, and the Eastern Conference is in such flux, right? The Bulls struggle towards the end, but they get a win tonight. You're looking at Milwaukee is dangerous. Like, that's the team I circle. We watched a little bit of Miami against your Knicks. Sorry, buddy. So where they're at. But the East is still attainable if you can get the convergence of circumstance to actually let you play at full strength. Now, will the basketball gods ever allow that to happen? Maybe, maybe not. But this is what you went all in on. It's kind of like the Rams when we, you know, going between our different sports, right? The Rams are, you know, they went all in, and here we are at the NFC title game, chance to host it here at SoFi, and then the opportunity, you know, playing for the opportunity to host the Super Bowl. So with the Nets, we're looking at the same thing, right? You went in all in on star power, thinking that, you know, you'd have the super friends, yet we haven't seen them actually be able to team up, right? There have been a lot of empty chairs at the Hall of Justice, damn it, Smith. Who the hell
is everybody?
Well, Harden couldn't make it. What are you? Well, I'm on page 297 of the DC history. So, I mean, you might be able to figure this out and see my backstory. I was a short-lived comic in the mid-60s, but I filled the seat while James was out.
This is like in The Boys when Homelander is there. Where is everybody? Where are they out doing good? Are they out saving people? How come there's nobody here? Look, if there was a solution that would make things better, right? Like you could make the trade, like the Sixers would say, okay, you know what? You give us James Harden, we'll give you Ben Simmons. He's healthy, he's ready, we'll give you another couple of players, and we'll do a three-team deal, and you can really get something else for him, then I could understand it. Then I could understand, all right, but is that really going to happen? Or is a James Harden deal going to be, hey, we're going to move around to make the salaries match, and right. It's going to be a dump for one team, and here's a bunch of first-round picks going. You're not going to get better. If I thought you could get better, and a team would make a move long haul, and we're gonna commit to James Harden, I would say, yeah, but that's not in the realm of possibility. That's the only rumor that's going to come up as well. Hey, Harden wants the 76ers. Sixers want to get out from under Ben Simmons. I'm sure they would trade for James Harden. That's the only thing that's going to happen. And really, are the Nets going to make that trade? Are when it comes down to it, they're going to say, we could potentially hand the Sixers the Eastern crown if Harden wants to go there and suddenly he's motivated and him and Embiid are a two-man show and they start beating the crap out of everybody? I can't see the Nets making that trade. So, yeah, so this is really the best solution for everybody. And for everybody, I mean, for the Nets, for the NBA, for them trying to make it work this year. Keep Harden now. This is why you put this together to see how it works. So let's at least see how it works for a little bit before you say, all right, let's pull the plug on it.
Right.
Twitter at @Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name, of course, is Mike Harmon. Phone number is 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. If you miss any of our show, it gets put up right after our show is over. Our Best Of podcast goes up right after we get done, 11 o'clock Pacific time. You can download it. You can subscribe to us. Rate us. We'll love you forever and ever and ever. You can use the iHeartRadio app. You can get it from iTunes. Wherever you listen to podcasts, it is there. You can download and listen. And I got it wrong last night when I said our podcasts are up 48% from last year to this year. I juxtaposed the numbers. Our podcasts are up 84%. From last year. This is after a 50% uptick the year before. So thank you for all of you downloading our content. Mike and I, our hearts are wide open. We love doing this for you every night, and this is really something. We just got the numbers in. Our manager, Scott Shapiro, was over the moon with it. It's really, really great. Again, yeah. 84% from year to year. It's just a fantastic thing, and Mike and I are extremely grateful for all of your support here on the show always. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now go tell more family and friends. Like I said, those little holiday cards, just put the URL in there. It's a great gift. Doesn't cost you anything but the card and the stamp.
Holiday,
and you've
holiday.
Given them a gift that 24/7, 365. Because we got to double these numbers for next year. Let's go!
Oh, wow. Look at you. Look, well, at least you got holiday and holiday, holiday, holiday.
Holiday, holiday, holiday.
Tonight's show brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, and competition, it is always on. No one does sports like Vegas, and the excitement is endless. So make sure to plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. That's visitlasvegas.com. Coming up next, I can explain the misery of one NBA team very easily. And if you want any more clues that Tom Brady's retiring, we got another one today. You just got to follow him with us, Detectives Jason and Mike. We'll tell you. You can see why he's retiring. That's next right here on Fox. Just when I was saying nice things about you, Tyshirt, playing all good songs, you go back and play this.
Sorry, I can't hear you over the good music.